Well, let's just do that. Amen. Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you for the opportunity to break the bread of life, to partake of your word, and to grow and be nourished therein. Pray that all that we do and say will glorify your name and bless your people. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, are we ready? Okay, I'm almost ready. Okay, I'm ready to preach. I've titled today's sermon, God in 3D. So you'll need to pull out your 3D glasses. I came to church this morning. I told Jasmine, I wish I had some 3D glasses. Because I have my title of my sermon's God in 3D. And I, you know, she laughed and we went our separate ways. And about 15 minutes later, she shows up with these. She had went and made me some. So see Jasmine directly after the service if you need 3D glasses. Amen. God in 3D. You ever been to a 3D movie? Anybody ever put on the real theater? Now, everyone's eyes are different. Everything about me is different, including my eyes. 3D glasses don't work for me. It's something to do with my eyes. It's just a movie. I put them on, take them. Just everybody's going, and I'm going, what's wrong with these people? You know, but I know what they're talking about because, you know, with special effects and stuff, they show you what it's supposed to be doing and how the tiger comes off of the screen and all this, you know. And so I guess it's a lot of fun. But so I kind of get the picture of what 3D is. Three-dimensional is seeing better and more realistic, seeing in a more personal way. Evidently, the 3D effect gets right up in your lap, right? That sounds like fun. I have a real strong desire to know God in 3D. I want to know him in every dimension. I want to know him more than I know him now. I want to know him more than I've ever known him in my life. I want to know him better tomorrow than I know him today. I want to grow in my knowledge of the Lord. I want him inside of me to grow and my knowledge of him to grow. I want to know God in 3D. I want to know every dimension of God. And one of the 3D dimensions of God that I can see in my heart is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And now, in our track rack back there, and I encourage you to go through the track rack periodically. We have a little roll around track rack back here. We have those by the offering box. We have some awesome tracks, subject matter that is sensitive, subject matter that every Christian should know about. They're just simply from the Word of God, simply put, beautiful messages on various issues and thoughts and doctrines, and it is awesome. And we, by permission, have copied some of these from other ministries, but the majority of them we've put together ourselves. With my daughter Becky has authored many of them. She doesn't ever put her name on them, but she gets the credit. But they're good tracks. They're good tracks. And one of the tracks is called the Athanasian Creed, like this. It's on that one back there. And I want to read that to you. Christians are Trinitarians, believing that God is three in one. This belief is what makes us distinct from all other religions in the world. In 2 Corinthians 13:14, the Apostle Paul blessed the church with distinctly Trinitarian benediction. He says, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. The doctrine of the Trinity came under attack from heretical groups of Arianism, Gnosticism, and Docetism during the early church period. And in the 4th century, that was 300 and something, in the 4th century, that's back before the knights were bold, The church put together this beautiful, beautiful rendition of how they could see God in the Trinity. And I just want to read this to you. It's so late. Okay. That we worship God in Trinity and the Trinity in unity, neither confounding the persons nor dividing the substance. For there is one person of the Father, another of the Son, and another of the Holy Ghost. But the Godhead of the Father, of the Son, and the Holy Ghost is all one. The glory is equal, and their majesty co-eternal. Such as the Father is, such is the Son, and such is the Holy Ghost. The Father is unlimited, the Son is unlimited, and the Holy Ghost is unlimited. The Father eternal, the Son eternal, and the Holy Ghost eternal. Yet they're not three eternals, but one eternal. As also there are not three uncreated, nor three infinites, but one uncreated and one infinite. So likewise, the Father is almighty, the Son is almighty, and the Holy Ghost is almighty. Yet there's not three almighties, but one almighty. So the Father is God, the Son is God, and the Holy Ghost is God. And yet they're not three gods, but one God. So likewise, the Father is Lord, the Son is the Lord, and the Holy Ghost is Lord. And there's not three lords, but one Lord. For we, like as we are compelled by Christian verity to acknowledge every person by himself to be God and Lord. So we're forbidden to say that there be three gods or three lords. The Father is made of none, neither created nor begotten. The Son is of the Father alone, not made, not created, but begotten. The Holy Ghost is of the Father and the Son, neither made, nor created, nor begotten, but proceeding from them. So there's one Father, not three fathers, one Son, not three sons, one Holy Ghost, not three Holy Ghosts. And in this Trinity, none is afore or after another. None is greater than the other. None is less than the other. There's nothing before, nothing after, nothing greater, nothing less. But the whole three persons are co-eternal and co-equal. So that in all things, as aforesaid, the unity in Trinity and the Trinity in unity is to be worshipped. That's a mouthful. I encourage you to get this little track and study it out line by line, line by line. Now, what I want to show you by the scripture today, at least in part, at least to whet your appetite for this, I want to show you the various aspects of God in 3D, three dimensions, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And at the same time, I want to show you what I believe to be the revelation of His oneness. And I know it's hard for the natural mind to grasp these things. The natural mind goes, tilt. But spiritual things are to be spiritually discerned and spiritually understood. So just ask God to open your heart, open your understanding. The three-dimensional aspect of God is all through His Word. We, created in His image, are spirit, soul, and body. You know, you're actually a spirit. The real person inside of you, the real you, is a spirit. You have a soul. You have mind, thoughts, emotions, soulish aspects. And you have, most of you have a body, I think. Anybody here without a body? And so, God is a lot like you. In fact, He's exactly like you because you were made in His image. And His spirit, soul, and body, and your spirit, soul, and body. He's Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, your spirit, soul, and body. Now, Reuben's a good volunteer. Reuben? If I take any of the three parts away from you, what would happen? His flower would wilt. If I take away his spirit, his soul, or his body, what would I have? An incomplete vessel. I'd have two-thirds of the real person, right? Well, if you take away the Father, the Son, or the Holy Ghost, you've got an incomplete God. We break this down and teach it in a more elementary level to the children using something as simple as an apple. I could take an apple here this morning and I could take the peeling off and lay it right here. I could cut the core out with the seeds, lay it right here, take the meaty part that we enjoy eating and lay it right here, and I'd have three parts of the apple, right? I could pick up the peeling and say, is there anything in here other than apple? Is there any orange in here? Is there any beef in here? Any bologna in here? Any peach, orange, grapes in it? No. What's in that? What's in that peeling? It's pure apple. It's not the whole apple, is it? But it's pure apple. I could do the same thing with the core, with the meat of the apple. It's pure apple, but it's not the whole apple. Okay? You follow me? Well, that's the way God is. Father, Son, Holy Ghost. The Father's all God, pure God. I mean, I should say He's pure, purely God, but He's not all of God. The Son, Jesus, is purely of God, but He's not all of God. The Holy Spirit is purely of God, but not all of God. But when they all get together, you have one apple, one God. Maybe that helps a little bit. Try to wrap this, our minds around this. But, you know, and going on with my thoughts here, that the Bible is full of three-dimensional aspects of God. In the Old Testament, something very prevalent was the Feast of Israel, and the three main feasts were Passover, Pentecost, and Tabernacles. Three main feasts. God works in threes in so many places. Here's some more, just going through a few of the threes. John 14, verse 6, Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life, right? Amen. I like this one in Romans 12:2. We have three aspects of God's will. We have the good will of God, the acceptable will of God, and the perfect will of God. That's interesting, isn't it? Even his will is broken into three levels. 1 Corinthians 13:13, the love chapter, says these things remain forever: faith, hope, and love. Acts 2:19, he talks about in the last days there will be signs in wonders in heaven and signs in the earth: blood, fire, vapor of smoke. Romans 14:17 says that the kingdom of God is righteousness and peace and joy. And so the Bible, you know, there's just a few of the examples. The Bible is full of trinities or triunities. These three things that I just mentioned in their sequence, they're all triunity because they all work together. They all function well together. They're very akin. And back to the Old Testament and the tabernacle of Moses, he had the outer court, the inner court, and the Holy of Holies. Again, threes. And I just want to share some of these. Oh, don't you love this one? The name of the Lord. The Lord Jesus Christ. Well, in the Old Testament, the Lord was always Jehovah, God, right? Jesus, moving to the New Testament, Jesus is the Son. And then Christ is represented by the Holy Spirit, the anointing. The word Christ actually means literally the anointing. And so when you say the Lord Jesus Christ, you're saying Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. His very name presents the nature and the characteristic of his person. That's why a lot of times when we baptize in water, we baptize what we believe to be according to biblical instructions. And Jesus said, baptize in the name of the Father, and Son, and the Holy Ghost. But then all the New Testament examples from Acts beyond, they said they baptized in the name of Jesus. And you go, what, did these guys get it wrong? They were told by Jesus himself to baptize in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. And here, all these examples, they're baptized in the name of Jesus. It's because the disciples knew who Jesus was. They knew him as the Lord Jesus Christ, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. And so in their mind, when they said Jesus, they're saying God in his fullness, Trinity. See that? And so we have this triune nature of God, characteristic of God, God in 3D, all through the Bible, and it's just beautiful. Everybody say, Lord, help him. Help that preacher. I want us to go to John chapter 1, verse 1. I'm going to be in the NLT most of the time here, guys. Christina, who's on? Lucy, whoever's on computer. John 1, 1. Now, talking about all these triunity, three-dimensional trinity, you know, we're trying to get that, right? But I also want you to get the oneness of them all. And we need to study some scriptures that show us the oneness of the Trinity and how they all wrap up into one. Okay, just read about the first four verses. In the beginning, now when was that? In the beginning. In the beginning was the Word. The Word already existed. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Wow. Verse 2, he existed. The he here is the Word. He, the Word, existed in the beginning with God. Number 3, God created everything through him, the Word. Nothing was created except through him, the Word. Verse 4, the Word gave life to everything that was created, and his life brought light to everyone. So here we have John presenting Jesus, the Word of God, as being in the beginning with God and as God. And so we have to say, they must have been really, really tight. I mean, if you're of God and as God, you're really tight with God. And the Word, who is Jesus, was really tight with God. He was God. He is God. Now, I don't want to confuse you or complicate things, but I want to bring some thoughts about Jesus and his birth into this. By the Holy Spirit, Father God took his Word that was with him in creation, and he placed that Word in the virgin womb of Mary. Try to get the picture here. Father God, the Creator, with the Word, the Creator, by the Holy Spirit, impregnates Mary with the Word, and she has a Word, baby, who is known as the Word, the Lord Jesus Christ. That's something that separates us from all other religions in the world. Not too long ago, somebody was speaking of the Muslim religion and said, well, they pray to Allah, that's God. And I said, well, yeah, that is a God with a little g, but it's not the real God. It's not the God with the big G that we serve. And they say, well, how so? Isn't he God? And there's just one God. How many ever heard that? Well, there's just one God. Well, the only true God has a baby boy named Jesus. And you can ask any Muslim on the street or anywhere else, does your Allah have a son named Jesus Christ? And they're going to go, no. Well, if their God, if anybody on earth's God, any religion on earth has a God who does not have a son named Jesus Christ, he's not the real, genuine God. He's just another little G-God, okay? I feel like I'm having a good time. And so, looking at John, we see in verse 1, we saw that the Word was with God and was God in the beginning. Verse 2, he was there in the beginning. Verse 3, we saw that everything was made by him and with him. Verse 4, he lights up men. The Word will enlighten you. I like that. Let's look at 1 Thessalonians. No, I don't want to go there yet. Let's go, we're in the book of John, I think. Yeah, we are. Go to chapter 15. Sometimes I get my tongue in front of my eye tooth and I can't see what I'm about to say. But John 15:26. And I just rebuke anything that's trying to hinder this message this morning. I rebuke it in Jesus' name and we're going to flow. John 15:26. Did we find it? I want us to look at the Holy Spirit a little bit. You know, we've been talking about Jesus and the Father. I want us to talk about the Holy Spirit here. John 15:26. Jesus says, I'll send you the Advocate, the Spirit of Truth. He will come to you from the Father and will testify all about me. Do you see the Trinity in that? Spirit of Truth comes from the Father, testifies or talks about Jesus. You see the oneness in that? Verse 27. And you must also testify about me because you've been with me from the beginning of my ministry. So now he's wanting them by the Spirit to testify of him. Okay, so we see that the Holy Spirit's our advocate. He's the Spirit of Truth. He comes from the Father. He talks about Jesus. Look at chapter 16. And I'm going to start with verse 7. 16:7. Are we ready? But Jesus is speaking here and he says, but in fact it is best for you that I go away, because if I don't, the Advocate won't come. If I do go away, then I will send him to you. Okay, let's just read several verses here. And when he, the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, comes, he will convict the world of its sin, and also of God's righteousness, and also of the coming judgment. The world's sin is that it refuses to believe in me. Righteousness is available because I go to the Father, and you will see me no more. Judgment will come because the ruler of this world has already been judged. Verse 12. There is so much more I want to tell you, but you can't bear it now. But when the Spirit of Truth comes, he will guide you into all truth. Here we have in verse 12 and 13, Jesus says there's some truth matters I want to share with you, but you can't grasp it yet. But the Spirit of the Lord is going to come, the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, Spirit of Truth is going to come, and he's going to make them real to you. And we know that then later on, they begin to get the revelation of Jesus Christ, the revelation of salvation, the revelation of redemption, the revelation of healing, revelation of deliverance, revelation of the Messiah that had come. And more as the Holy Spirit was poured out upon the church, all from the book of Acts on, the church and all the disciples and all the followers of Christ, they found out more and more and more and more truth. And it wasn't because Jesus was there teaching them this truth. No, he had ascended to the Father. But it's because he had sent the Spirit of Truth, the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit was teaching the church, and the Holy Spirit is still teaching the church today. I was talking to Barbara this morning over breakfast, how that I feel like I need to change my vocabulary a little bit, because I'm always talking about what the Lord has done, or what the Lord is doing, or what Jesus has done, or what Jesus is doing, and that's cool. But in reality, it's the Holy Spirit that's working in my life. Now, he came from the Father, and he's talking about Jesus. But it's the Holy Spirit that's doing the work in my life. It's the Holy Spirit that's talking to me, Holy Spirit that's prompting me, Holy Spirit that's teaching me, Holy Spirit that stands as my truth and my advocate and my lawyer and my standby. The Holy Spirit is God to me. I can't sit down in this chair and have Jesus sit in that chair, because Jesus ain't here. But his Spirit is here. And not in the chair, he's in here. And so I need to change my vocabulary a little bit. So if you hear me talking about, oh man, Jesus did this awesome thing in my life, you need to say, wait a minute, preacher, was that Jesus or the Holy Ghost? Well, it was both of them. In fact, it was all three of them. Again, the natural brain's going, what? Ask your Spirit to teach you, because the Holy Spirit lives in there and he'll rise up and teach you these things. Amen? What verse did I stop with? The what? 13. Now when the Spirit of Truth comes, he'll guide you into all truth, and he'll not speak of his own, but will tell you what he has heard. And he'll tell you about the future. And he'll bring me glory. Jesus is speaking here. He'll bring me, Jesus, glory by telling you whatever he receives of me. All that belongs to the Father is mine. This is why I said the Spirit will tell you whatever he receives from me. All that belongs to the Father is mine. Jesus stood up. Started to say stand up on the pulpit, wherever he stood, on the platform. Let's try that. Jesus stood up on the platform, if that's what they had in that day, and he said, everything that belongs to the Father God is mine. And they crucified him for it. If you ever really want to find out why they crucified Jesus, it's because he received and preached the revelation that he was one with God. Now that's a delicate area. Most especially in his day and time, was a delicate area. They crucified him for being co-equal with God. But he could say that because he knew that he was the very Son of God, begotten of the Father, and had come by the Holy Ghost into the Virgin Mary. Jesus knew the story of his conception and birth. And so he could say, I'm of God. Maybe we ought to look at, what is it, 14:7? Where is it? Yeah, go back to chapter 14. When you get to 14, let's go to verse 6 and read a little bit. We read verse 6 a while ago, or I quoted it. 14:6. And Jesus told him, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one can come to the Father except through me. If you had really known me, you would know who my Father is. From now on, you do know him and have seen him. Philip said, Lord, show us the Father. We'll be satisfied. Jesus replied, have I been with you all this time, Philip, and yet you still don't know who I am? Anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. Did anybody see that? Okay, y'all with me, aren't you? Everybody say, I'm with you. Anyone who has seen me, this me is Jesus. Anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. Whoa. Now we talked about the Trinity, the triunity of God. But do you see now the oneness of God, at least in part? Jesus could stand there as a flesh and blood man saying, I'm one with God. That makes Jesus God. It really does. Now, I don't know if he's the peeling, the core, or the meat, but he's God. He's purely God. Jesus is his purely God. His substance is God. There's no orange in him, no peach in him, no beef in him, no bacon in him. He's purely God. And with his Father and with the Holy Spirit, they are God. Three in one. Are you getting a little bit of this? Say, I'm getting it, I'm getting it. Look at your neighbor and say, are you getting it? Oh, praise God for Jesus. Don't you love the Lord? I think we better go to Colossians chapter 1. Chapter 1, verse 1, I think. I got to catch up. No, chapter 1, verse 15, Lucy. Lucy, I'm going to read about five verses here. Chapter 1, verse 15. Did we find that? Everybody ready? Let's read. Christ. Now, wait a minute. Who's Christ? Somebody tell me who Christ is. Everybody say, Christ is Jesus. Okay. Christ is the visible image of the invisible God. Did you ever wonder why God's invisible? Jesus said, and I didn't mark this in my notes to tell you exactly where it is, but I can show you later if you need the proof. I'm not lying to you. Jesus said, God is a spirit. They that worship him must worship him in spirit and truth. So God's a spirit. Can you see a spirit? I'm looking at my wife, and she's spirit, soul, and body, but I can't see her spirit. I can only see who her spirit is. And I can see what her spirit does, what her spirit cares about. I can see the result of her spirit life. But I can't see her spirit. Well, you can't see God because he's a spirit. But he wants you to see him. So he gave us Jesus so that we could see him. Are you with me? And so how did I lose my place so fast? The wind blew my page. Okay, Christ is the visible image of the invisible God. And he existed before anything was created. And is supreme over all creation. Whoa, Jesus! You saw his picture? Some of you probably got him hanging on your neck on a cross. Well, he's not on the cross anymore, but that's a nice memory. Hallelujah. He's the risen Christ. And that risen Christ, that Jesus, was way back there in the beginning, whenever that was. He existed before anything was created and is supreme over all creation. Ooh. Number 16. For through him, Christ, I'm going to use the word Jesus or Christ when I see him to help us understand it. For through him, Christ, God created everything in the heavenly realms and on the earth. You know, this is good. The second half of verse 16, he made the things we can see and the things we cannot see. Jesus made everything. What you see, what you don't see, he made it. He made my wife, what I see and what I don't see. I don't see your spirit, but he made your spirit. He made the things we can see and the things we can't see, such as thrones, kingdoms, rulers, and authorities in the unseen world. Everything was created through him and for him. Everything was created through Christ and for Christ. Now, I want to just insert a little thing in here to kind of shake your cage a little bit. Christ is Jesus, right? Who is his body? The church. I want you to start, you may have to start in an elementary manner, but start considering yourself as part of the body of Christ. And when you start seeing things that Christ does, or seeing by the word that Christ will do things in the future, consider the fact that he won't do it without his body. That'll bring revelation to you that just shakes theology, man's theology all to pieces. If we knew how close to God we really are through being the body of Christ, through being the temple of the Holy Spirit, through the blood that purchased us, if we knew how close to God we really were, we'd never sin again. Read on, brother. Are we on about 17? He, Christ, existed before anything else. And he, Christ, holds all creation together. Christ is also the head of the church, which is his body. Mm-hmm. And he, Christ, is the beginning, supreme over all who rise from the dead. So, he is first in everything. 19. For God in all his fullness was pleased to live in Christ. I don't know what all the fullness of God is, but it's big. And he is pleased to put that in Jesus. And you're his body. He wants to put a bunch of it in you. Number 20. And through him, Christ, God reconciled everything to himself. And he made peace with everything in heaven and on earth by means of Christ's blood on the cross. Oh, folks, this is heavy-duty stuff. And when it gets really heavy-duty when you catch the revelation that he's including the body in there. He's including the church in there. And for those that can assimilate this by faith, this will help you draw closer to God. Because he wants you to be a very part of himself. In John 17, Jesus' famous prayer, he said, he prayed for you, the church, for me and you. And he said, Father, make them one, like we are one. And you know, a while ago he was on the platform saying, everything that the Father has is mine. And now he's saying in John 17, his famous prayer, he said, Father, everything that we have, let's give it to them. I tell you, we need to grasp these deep revelations and embrace them so we can remember that we are something special. And when the devil comes along with temptations of sin, we can say, devil, God would never do that, and I'm part of his body. Well, you ding-a-ling, get out of here. Get the hell out of here. I'm tired of listening to you. You're special to God. Now, I know some of us will probably slip and fall, get our face in the mud about day after tomorrow. But you know what? By the blood of Jesus, we can wash that mud off and say, hey, I'm back, devil. Bring on the big guns. I'm back. You can't keep a good man down that's washed in the blood. Look at chapter 2, verse 9. Are you ready? Chapter 2, verse 9. For in Christ lives all the fullness of God in a human body. I don't know how God got all his fullness in that human body of Jesus, but he did. All the power of the Creator, all the power of the Word of God, all that is, that's ever been created or ever will be created, all that is, stands there in Jesus. Now, he's bigger than you think because he has a huge body. And the head won't do things without the body. There's a lot of prophecy nowadays. Well, there always has been. Jesus is going to do this. Jesus is going to do that. Oh, yeah. I'm anxious to hear that because I get to be a part. You can't say Jesus is going to do anything by the word of God that I'm not included. Because the head's not going to bounce around without a body and do all this stuff. He's going to do it with and through the body. Just like the Father did everything He did, created everything He did, is going to do everything that He's ever done. He's doing it through Jesus. Jesus is doing it through His body. We're all in this together. So not only is the triunity of God in play, but the oneness of God is in play. And we get to be one with Him by the Spirit, by the blood, by faith. And it's just like, I don't know if I can take all this in. This is, I know what you mean, Jelly Bean. It's hot stuff. Where am I? Somebody say, where is he? Look at 1 Corinthians 8:6. The Bible says, New Testament and Old Testament, says that everything be established in the mouth of two or three witnesses. And I'm going to give you a whole lot more than three witnesses today on what we're talking about, because I want this to get established in your heart. 1 Corinthians 8:6. But we know there is only one God, the Father, who created everything, and we live for Him. There is only one Lord, Jesus Christ, through whom God made everything, and through whom we have been given life. Do you see the progressiveness here? The Father, to Jesus, to the we's, these guys. That's you and me, baby. You're important to God. You've always been important to God. He had this planned since day before one. Way back. Hallelujah. Please go to Hebrews 1:1. I'm so happy. You know that song? Excuse me while I take a little drink of water. Hebrews 1:1. Did we find it? Let's read four verses, Lucy. Long ago. This sounds like a story, huh? Once upon a time. Okay, long ago, God spoke many times and in many ways to our ancestors through the prophets. And now in these final days, He has spoken to us through who? His Son. God promised everything to the Son as an inheritance. And through the Son, He created the universe. Have you noticed how these authors keep agreeing with one another about Jesus being in the creation? We've read this a whole bunch today in various ways from various authors, how Jesus was all part of the creation as the Creator. And here it is again. God promised everything to the Son as an inheritance, and through the Son He created the universe. Verse 3. Oh, I love this. I love this wording. The Son radiates God's own glory and expresses the very character of God. And He sustains everything by the power of His command. Ooh, and when He cleansed us from our sins, He sat down in the place of honor at the right hand of the majesty of heaven. I wish I could get it into words. I got to read that again. The Son radiates God's own glory. Can somebody give me a shout on that? I mean, let's just imagine, picture Jesus standing here on the platform. And you know why you can't see Him and why you're needing to put on your 3D glasses? It's because He's radiating the glory of God. Because He is God. He's of God. He's the Word that created everything. He's one with the Father. The Spirit of life. The Spirit of truth. The very Holy Spirit. Life force of God dwells in Him. Motivates Him. He exists by the power, life-giving force of the Spirit. And He's radiating God in all of His fullness, in all of His glory, in all of the universe, in all of creation, in all that was, is, and shall be. I mean, Jesus is, no wonder you need 3D glasses. I better put them on. Let me get on down the road. The Son radiates God's own glory and expresses the very character of God. And He sustains everything by the power of His command. Okay, let's do that. Everything that does not follow His command will fall apart. And everything that follows His command will stay together. Another way to put that is in a scripture that says, everything that can be shaken will be shaken. Speaking of the world's social order. He holds everything together by the power of His command. And we either obey His command and stay together, or disobey His command and fall apart. You can bring that right down to where you live, on your street today, where the rubber meets the road, soles of your feet to the pavement. You can put it right there where you live today. You can carry it to the body of Christ. You can carry it to the world's social order. You can carry it into the present, into the prophetic future. But I'm telling you, oh my, He sustains everything by the mighty power of His command. And when He cleansed us from our sins. Anybody here cleansed? Anybody need to get on your knees and say, Lord, cleanse me? When He cleansed us from our sins, He sat down in the place of honor at the right hand of the majesty of God in heaven. Verse 4. This shows that the Son, Jesus Christ, is far greater than the angels, just as the name God gave Him is greater than their names. Turn back a few pages to the little book of Philippians, chapter 2, verse 6. Everybody's happy? I'm telling you, everything's wrapped up in Jesus. We're Trinitarians. We believe in a Trinity, Father, Son, Holy Ghost. That's who we are, what we do. But it's all expressed in Jesus. It's all expressed by Jesus. It's all expressed for His glory. Did you find 2:6 of Philippians? Lucy's ahead of me. Though He, Jesus, we're talking about Jesus here. You take time later to look up the verse just above it. It talks about the attitude of Christ that Jesus had. Verse 6, though He, Jesus Christ, was God, He did not think of equality with God as something to cling to. He was equal with God and He didn't want to cling to it? What's going on here? Why would He think Himself equal to God and not want to cling to it? Because in verse 7, instead He gave up His divine privileges and He took the humble position as a slave and was born as a human being when He appeared in human form. God, the Word, the Creator, Jesus humbled Himself in our behalf for our good. I'm telling you, honey, God loves you. He loves you through Jesus so much that He said, Son, go down there and be one of them and drag them back up here where they belong. Get them out of that bar pit and off the bar stool and get them back where they belong. When He appeared in human form, verse 8, He humbled Himself in obedience to God and died a criminal's death. Therefore, God elevated Him to the place of highest honor and gave Him the name above all other names. Verse 10. I mean, you need to get shouting here pretty quick. That at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth. And every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. There is a oneness in the Trinity that cannot be denied. There is a triunity in the oneness of Jesus that cannot be denied. The three in one. It's beautiful. I want a bite of the whole apple. In fact, I'm going to eat the whole apple. Almost every night for the 21 days, Barbara and I brought a little basket of apples off of one of our apple trees. Many of you got some of those apples. And they were just so little and so sweet. And a lot of times I'd get down to the core and I think, I ain't going to throw that away. And I'd just eat the whole thing, seeds and all. That's the way I feel about God. I want to eat the whole apple, honey. He's all good eating. Did you see that? That every knee is going to bow and every tongue is going to confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of the Father? Did you see that? Go to Acts 17:26, please. Tell me when we get there. Yeah. 17:26. Okay, go back up to verse 22, please, Lucy. Go to 22, and we're going to read about five verses, because you guys need to see this. Are you ready? Okay, Paul, everybody say, Paul's in Athens. Athens is in Greece. You got that? So Paul, standing before the council, addressed them as follows. Men of Athens, I notice that you're very religious in every way. For as I was walking along, and I saw your many shrines, and one of your altars had this inscription on it, to an unknown God. This God, whom you worship without knowing, is the one I'm telling you about. Verse 24. He is the God who made the world and everything in it. And since He is Lord of heaven and earth, He doesn't live in man-made temples. And human hands cannot serve His needs, for He has no needs. He Himself gives life and breath to everything. And He satisfies every need. Verse 26. From one man. Now he's talking about Jesus now. He's getting over on the man. Jesus. From one man, He, God, created all the nations throughout the whole earth. And He decided beforehand when they should rise and fall. And He determines their boundaries. Next time you see a nation rising or falling on the news, don't get shook. God had this figured out a long time ago. Verse 27. His purpose, oh, I love this purpose thing. His purpose was for the nations to seek after God and perhaps feel their way towards Him and find Him, though He's not far from any one of us. For in Him we live and move and exist. Everybody say, in Him I live, I move, and I exist. I live, I move, and I exist in Him. Okay, please stand to your feet. Here's another triune thought for you. The trinity of faith, we'll call it. The triune nature of faith. There's a faith that believes, a faith that trusts, and a faith that ventures. Think about this. The faith that believes, a faith that trusts, and a faith that ventures. Three quick examples. Abraham believed God, and according to Romans 4:3, he believed God, and it was counted to him as righteousness. Abraham didn't have the blood of Christ to make him righteous. Hadn't happened yet. He believed God, and God said, if you're going to believe me, you're going to be righteous. We just make that declaration right here and now. And so, honey, if you believe God, it's a powerful thing. So there's a faith that believes. There's also a faith that trusts. The beautiful account in 2 Kings 4, where Elisha the prophet prayed for a barren woman that couldn't have babies. She had a baby boy when he was about 10 or 12 years old. He went out to help his dad in the field, and he got a headache and died. They brought him to the house. She said, my baby's dead. No, they brought him to the house, and they said the baby's dead. You know what she said? All is well. Read the account. She said, all is well. And she said, I'm going to go get the prophet because all is well. Lord knows what he's doing there. She trusted. There was a faith that trusts. And everybody she met on the way, they'd say, how you doing, woman? All is well. How's your child? All is well. And the kid's laying up there dead on the bed. And she's saying, all is well. Her husband said, where are you going, honey? All is well. What are you going to do about that dead boy? All is well. Gets to the prophet's house. A servant runs out. Hey, woman, how's things going? All is well. How's your baby? All is well. And the prophet discerned by the Spirit, something's not right. I'm going to her house, see what's going on. He got there, the baby dead on the bed. And the woman saying, all is well. She trusted. She trusted. There was a faith that trusts in God. There's a faith that trusts that all is well. And she wouldn't be moved from that. The baby was raised from the dead. There's a faith that ventures. Peter believed. He was born again. He believed. He trusted Jesus. Followed him, trusted enough to leave his fishing business and his family and go follow Jesus. He trusted. He believed. He trusted. But Peter also ventured. When Jesus was out there on the stormy sea, walking on the water, and the disciples in the boat said, I think there's a spirit out there on the water. There's a ghost after us. Must be Captain Hook. Jesus said, hey, boys, it's me. Cool. Chill. Peter said, Lord, if that's you, I want to walk on the water to you. Jesus said, come on, honey. Get out of that boat. Peter got out of that boat and he walked. Now, if you know the rest of the story, you know, he got to looking at the waves and a little doubt came to his heart and he started sinking. He cried out, Jesus, help me. Jesus reached down, picked him up, and they both walked back to the boat. He's the only one of the 12 disciples that had the faith to venture. You can believe, that's good. You can trust, that's good. But God wants you to go all the way and venture. Nina said it through Malachi 3. He said, God says, prove me. Get on the venture of faith. Prove God. If he's not for real, go serve Allah. Go serve Houdini or what's his name? Buddha. I don't know all their names. I just get so busy knowing the name of Jesus. That's the only one I care about. There's a lot of trinities in the Bible and they all work together. A faith that believes, a faith that trusts, and a faith that ventures. It all works together as one. Please close your eyes. Barbara, join me. Father, in Jesus' name, Lord, we said a lot today. I mean, it just everything we said was a mouthful. Everything we said, Lord, was beautiful and heavy and hard to understand by the mind, and yet our spirits are churning, saying, yes, Spirit of Truth, I want to know these things. Spirit of Truth, teach me. Spirit of Truth, I believe you, sir. I want to know your word. Teach me, teach me, teach me. Oh, help me understand, Lord, these spiritual truths. Father, thank you. Maybe you've never made the first step. Maybe you know about Jesus. Maybe you've been to church. You've heard about him. You've heard his word read. You've heard prayers said, spoken. But you've never really met Jesus personally. And you're going like, I need to do that. I need to know him personally. I want to know more about him. I want to start at the beginning and just get to know him. I want to start at the beginning and just get my life right with him and commit my life to following him so I can get things straightened out. My life's been a mess. I've followed myself, I've followed my friends, I've followed the ways of the world. It's just not working. I want to follow Jesus. I want to just jump in the water like Peter on this venture of faith. I want to believe, I want to trust, and I want to venture out and just step out of the boat and walk on the water. I just I want things to turn around in my life. If there's just something in your heart today that's just turning and churning, and you just know you need, you just got to get something right with God, that is such a good thing. That is the Holy Spirit. He's convicting you of sin, and He's showing, wants to show you the righteousness of God. And He just wants you to make a stand for Jesus, and it's so easy. Just come up here and we'll pray with you. A public confession of Christ is such a powerful, powerful thing to help you walk right. And I just want you to come up here today if you need Jesus. If you need Jesus, you want to accept Him as your Savior. You want to start on square one and start believing in Him. Don't be bashful, just come on up. It's good. Jesus said, if you're ashamed of me, I'll be ashamed of you before the Father. But He said, if you'll confess me before men publicly, I'll confess you before the Father. See, when your name comes up, Jesus will say one of two things. When your name comes up, Jesus is going to say, Father, they never did confess me. They never did tell people that they believed in me. They didn't confess me publicly. Or Jesus is going to say, yeah, that old boy, that old girl, they confessed to me as Lord. They gave their lives to me. Father, they're on our side. Let them come to heaven. I tell you what, your confession publicly is very, very important to your future. I love you, Lord. I love you, Lord. I love you, Lord. I love you, Lord. Lord, we just open the door for those today that need prayer. Open the door for those that want to make Jesus Lord of their life. Lord, you're not only the Savior, you're also the healer, the redeemer, the deliverer. Lord, you change things that need to be changed. And Lord, we just invite the people that need more of Jesus to come today. We just release them to come and be healed, be saved, be set free. In Jesus' name, we release them to come.
Oh, Lamahai, there's someone here that you're born again. You know Jesus, but you've just felt like you had a brick wall on your, you've just been heavy. You've had a heaviness on you, and the Lord wants to set you free and take that brick wall off of you and just give you peace and victory. If you just have been struggling and just things have been so big to you and so hard, God wants to touch you by His power today. Hallelujah, Marayoshay, Lenahanda Bohai. Oh, Lakarin Yoshay. There's somebody that's been saying, life's just too big. It's just too big. It's too heavy. There's just too much. And Jesus is saying, come unto me and take my yoke upon you and learn of me. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
I'm just going to obey the Lord this morning. And, you know, after the praise and worship this morning, I felt real strong in my spirit. And He was saying, I want you to go up there and do an altar call. And, you know, I knew it wasn't the moment. Now I know the time is right. For God said, I have sent my Son to the world. He said, I sent my word. I sent my word, Jesus, so that you might have faith to speak forth and say Jesus and confess Jesus as your Lord. You know, you have to do something this morning.
You have to.
And I'm just going to obey the Lord and say this. It's in the Word. It says, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. You cannot save yourself. God the Father sent the Word, Jesus. And, you know, I felt it real strong. I'm just going to say this. Come on up. Come up. If you need Jesus in your life, the pastor already made the invitation, but you need to come forth. Come on up. If you need Jesus, if you know that you have not been walking right with Jesus, come on, come on up. Come on now. I know there's young people in here and even older people in here that need to make things right. And it don't matter who you are. No one is here to condemn you. No one is here to judge you. No one is here to say anything bad about you. Come on up. If that's you, come on up. I just thought I had to say that.
Raise your hand if you've ever prayed any kind of prayer. You've prayed any kind of prayer. Raise your hand. Okay, keep your hand up. Close your eyes. Keep your hand up and say, Father, it's me again. I need you, Jesus. Please help me. Please open my heart. Open my mind. I need you. Please help me, Jesus. Please help me. Save me from sin. And save me from myself. Help me, Jesus. I believe. Amen. Now take a deep breath. Let it back out. and give about 50 or 60 people a big hug and a kiss. And remember, all is well. All is well. Thank you for participating in this church service. Thank you for your response, your giving, your love, your care. We care about you. We pray for you all the time. God bless you. Have a great week.